iDrive SoCal is brought to you by the best automotive retailers from across Southern California. We consider our dealer partners friends and highly recommend them. When it's time for you to buy, just go to iDriveSoCal.com and click on dealers to get connected. Or email me and I'll personally introduce you. Tom@iDriveSoCal.com. That's Tom, T-O-M, at I, the letter I, drive like drive a car, SoCal like Southern California.com. Tom@iDriveSoCal.com. Now, on with the podcast. Welcome to iDrive SoCal, the podcast all about mobility from the automotive capital of the United States, Southern California. You know, I say it sing-songy because it's like, it's a pretty great place to live here in Southern California.
Absolutely.
I mean, we pay for it, right?
We definitely pay for
it. Financially, mentally, with all the traffic we got to deal with.
Yes.
But thankfully, if it wasn't for all that traffic, maybe iDrive SoCal wouldn't be in existence, right?
Yeah, maybe it would.
Maybe. At any rate, thank you, Professor, for joining me. That is the good professor, Mr. Clinton Kwan, that you hear there. Thank you for tuning in, which is kind of, I shouldn't really say that, tuning in, right? Because it's a podcast. We're not on the radio, but whatever. I'll say it. I'll continue to say it. And this podcast, as you know by the label, because you obviously clicked play either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or whatever podcatcher you're using, or you clicked play from iDriveSoCal.com, you know that this is our overview of the LA Auto Show by way of the professor and my experience of Automobility LA, which is the LA Auto Show's press days. And now, this was pretty much my first big experience. I kind of dabbled with press days pre-iDrive SoCal. And the professor has done press days for a few years, I believe, right?
Yes.
And now, basically, what the press days are is it's industry-focused. So it's what's going on within the industry of the automotive business, which is now really automotive as well as technology, as the way that we move, i.e. mobility, kind of comes to a gore point, if you will, a convergence. And it was really, really interesting on a number of levels. But so the press day started on Monday. I didn't attend Monday, but there was some events going on Monday that were women in the automotive industry. And then I believe their startup competition – code. I did a podcast on this with Alexis Evans, and it was the hackathon, but they're not calling it a hackathon. It's a hackathon that's not called a hackathon. Was part of Monday, I believe, Monday. But then Tuesday, I was there all day. Wednesday, I was there all day as well. And then Thursday, we were there together.
Yes.
Right. And so, but Monday night, you attended.
I attended the two receptions that took place on Monday night. So those were sort of the kickoff parties for Automobility LA.
Right. So food and drink and all the other press junkies at the press junket.
Yes.
Ba-dum-bum. And then Tuesday was an interesting day because – so the press days take place primarily in these two huge tents that are outside of the convention center. And the convention center, of course, for anybody listening outside of LA that's not been here, is right next to Staples Center where the Lakers play and the Clippers play and the Kings play and lots of concerts and whatnot. But right downtown LA, they call the area LA Live. And so they put these two huge tents outside that house the press days because – the first few days start there, and then Thursday opens up the inside of the auto show, and that's when basically us press folk.
Oh, Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah. There were,
was it?
The major press events took place on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. So that's when they open up and we kind of transition from the tents outside to actually inside for the convention center for where the auto show is for the masses, where you may be going to the auto show. Maybe you're on your way to the auto show right now as you're listening to the podcast. But the press days were super cool and kind of coincide with one of the reasons I started the iDrive SoCal podcast and website, and that is this crazy convergence between automotive and technology and a big discussion was, and Professor, you weren't there for this, and I don't even think we've talked about it yet, but a big discussion was around V2X. Software and hardware that focuses on V2X. And what that is vehicle to whatever communication. So as we advance in autonomy, in cars starting to drive themselves, our cars are going to be talking to many different things. And it was fascinating. I'm going to have some podcasts where some of the heads of these companies, because they're startup companies that are doing this. Nobody's really doing it. But the startup companies are partnering with the big manufacturers and whatnot. But the concept that our car is going to talk to the city's grid, our car is going to act as – but nobody knows anything for sure. So it's all theory. That's the crazy thing, right? I went there thinking, oh, okay, you know, the solid plan's going to be laid out or the solid plans are going to be start to laid out. But they're not because nobody know. I mean, William Goldman is a Hollywood screenwriter. And he's known kind of as a godfather of Hollywood screenwriting. He wrote Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. I think I'm getting his name right. But he coined a term or a phrase that I think applies to so many other businesses and so many other states of industry. To paraphrase, nobody knows nothing is what William Goldman said about the Hollywood business, about how movies get made. And I think we're definitely in an area right now where everything is being figured out about mobility, about the autonomous element of mobility. And it's happening for sure. It's the how of it. But everybody's working on it now. All the major manufacturers are working on it. You know, the major technology companies are working on it. You got the Waymo out there. You got Uber doing its thing. And the whole concept that your car is, well, it's a computer on wheels already. New cars are. Just, they are. But your car is going to talk to other things. Your car is going to talk to other cars. Your car is going to talk to the parking meter. Your car is going to talk to parking structures. Your car will act as a credit card. Your car will talk to your phone. And then the other concept of car sharing where, I'm going to walk up and access a car that isn't mine, that I'm basically renting. That one, I have a hard time wrapping my head around because, and we've talked about this, Professor, you've got a ton of stuff in your car. I got a ton of stuff in my car.
Oh,
my,
yeah.
My wife has a ton of stuff in her car. My son's car seat. I mean, how that whole car sharing thing is going to do, I think we're always going to have cars. But so anyway, that was my take on press days. That was a lot of fun to talk to some of these companies. And again, we're going to do podcasts with them where it's, you know, the vehicle talking to other things. And the crazy realization is really nobody knows anything. Everybody's up on stage with their theories. And if you read between the lines, some of the panel discussions that they had in some of these sessions, you know, people were experts, but they were experts on stage saying two different things, the two different theories. We're going two different directions.
Oh, right? Yeah. I've heard the same thing too. Yes.
And for instance, this is something that I've shared in the podcast before and that someone opened my eyes to. One of the CEOs of one of the software companies of the V2X technology. And we were kicking around the idea of how autonomy is going to be rolled out. And level 5 autonomy is cars going to go anywhere on its own and at any time.
Yes, that's fully autonomous.
And that's a long way out because that means the car has to recognize not only streets, but perhaps off-road even, right? I mean, that's literally what level 5
they'd
autonomy...
They'd have to be able to do everything by itself.
Right. That's what level 5 autonomy is considered by way of the standard understanding that everybody's accepting of the levels of autonomy as described by the SAE, the Society of Automotive Engineers.
Yes.
I have a podcast on that explaining the levels of autonomous driving. So level 4 autonomy is more realistic, and that is a confined area where the car is able to operate on its own, but only within that confined area. So when you think about where we are right now as a society, it's like, okay, that confined area could be a city.
Yes.
Right? So in theory, and this goes back to the conversation that I was having with this one V2X CEO, in theory, our car pulls up to the city. In order to enter that city, our car needs to have the capacity to communicate with the city's grid. We're hands off. As we enter the city, the car is being run by the city grid. And in theory, okay, level 4 autonomy, that makes perfect sense, right? He posed an interesting question that I hadn't thought of. What about the big brother factor? You really want the city running your car? I thought, huh, that's interesting. I don't know that that's right or wrong. Nobody knows what's right or wrong. But what I was thinking is, well, yeah, okay, that's a good point. You know, maybe my idea of my car, your car, everyone's cars communicating with a city grid is a big brother-ish kind of issue. However, right? I know.
It
You're looking
be,
at me like maybe
not.
But then as I'm going to the next day of the Automobility LA, driving there, I got into the express lane, which I pay for. Isn't that kind of along the same lines of a big brother-ish kind of issue?
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know. And I just share that because it's like, you know, people ask me all the time, like, well, you do this podcast thing and I drive SoCal and, you know, future mobility. What do you think? It's like, well, and the interesting thing is nobody really knows.
That's true. No one really knows. There's a lot of theories out there. There are people out there who think that, well, maybe it'll happen in just literally a few more years. But realistically, I don't see that happening. There's just so many other factors involved. And when you're talking about fully autonomous vehicles, you're talking about having cities maintaining the streets properly. And if that doesn't happen, the cars won't be able to fully drive themselves.
Well, and by that's fully autonomous in a city, you're talking about really level 4, not level 5. Level 5 is go anywhere, anytime.
Yeah. But we're talking about cities, counties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the car has to communicate with the road. It has to communicate with obstructions. It has to communicate with everything.
Detect the lanes, the barriers, signage, road markings,
all of that.
Speed feedback signs, all of that.
Everything. All of that and then some.
Yes.
And it has to make decisions.
It has to make decisions.
Right? Another podcast I did with Consumer Watchdog Group earlier this year, and they poised an interesting question. You know, the car has a decision to make.
Yeah.
Does it potentially hurt somebody outside of the car, or does it potentially hurt somebody inside of the car? An accident and impact is imminent. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Who does a car put at risk? I mean, to put it more bluntly, I think John Simpson was the gentleman's name who I did the podcast with from Consumer Watchdog Group. And he said, you know, who does a car kill? Kind of a morbid way of looking at it, but it's...
Yes.
You know, one of the many... And that's why...
And that's not something a lot of people are talking about, because everyone thinks, oh, with fully autonomous vehicles, we're going to have zero deaths.
Right. But we're going to be... There's going to be growing pains getting there.
Yes.
That's the thing. That's what society has to accept and embrace. And, you know, I don't, you know, in theory, I think I've said those two words together many times in this podcast, but, you know, in theory, that's great. As long as it's nobody I know, care for, or love.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, anybody getting hurt or worse is unacceptable. But I don't know. It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
But we're at a time right now in history that we've done this before, right? When horses were going away and buggies were going away and horseless carriages and cars were taking over the roads. It would be interesting to go back. And I don't even know who would really have any historical data on that. Maybe AAA. But just kind of like how issues were addressed and dealt with back then. Obviously, those were simpler times. That was far less population, far less technology, far less. But nonetheless, there's some parallels, some similarities that can be drawn, right?
Absolutely.
So that was the one thing that I really wanted to point out about press days. You know, other than that, you have some really interesting electric vehicles that are being introduced. Not the first electric vehicle companies to be introduced that, you know, make big fanfare and then maybe we hear about, maybe we don't in the future. But interesting nonetheless. That kind of falls in line with a whole bunch of really cool concept vehicles that were out there in the show. Because at the end of press days, we got to go walk the floors just like, you know, everybody else will be able to and is doing right now. And I guess the takeaway for the concept cars overall is just really electrification and automation. Is that a word? Automation? It is, right?
I think it is.
Right. If not, I just made up a word.
Yes.
But the idea of your car not only being electric, but being more of a living room sitting area, which again isn't new, right? If you go to concept cars back, you know, 40, 50 years ago, they were theorizing that was going to be the case, right?
Yeah.
But it seems we're getting closer.
Yes, we are getting closer.
And as we mentioned, the Honda Passport, cool one. That is coming out. The Passport's going to be between the Pilot and the CRV. We've done a podcast about that. So that was a cool thing from Honda for a shout out to our friends at Rock Honda. The Toyota RAV4, new one coming out.
Yes.
Our friends at West Coast Toyota in Long Beach, shout out to them. Toyota RAV4, when is that going to be available in dealerships?
I don't know if a date has been announced.
So we're probably assuming.
I would think it's going to be sometime.
Late Q1, early Q2-ish, something like that.
If I were to guess at this point. Okay, it was also shown at the Orange County
International. Yeah. So we're theorizing on that one. And then Volkswagen, we did. I did a sit-down podcast with Mark Gillies, who is the Senior Product Communication Manager for Volkswagen America. And we did a really cool podcast during press days at the Volkswagen booth, which was still being constructed. And we did a piece on the history of the Beetle as the Beetle rounds the last year that the Beetle is going to be available for Volkswagen. So those are my takeaways from the LA Auto Show and press days. As I hog the first many minutes of this podcast, Professor, thank you for chiming in on your thoughts. But what were your takeaways on what you saw?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to spend as much time during press days as I normally as I've done in the past.
Sure,
but as always, I always enjoyed the kickoff receptions that took place on Monday.
Professor doesn't miss a party that has to do with cars.
Yes, and didn't see a whole lot of cars at those two events, but definitely lots of food and drinks and entertainment. So that was a fun time. And then in terms of Thursday, there were a few press events. I didn't go to most of that, but I did walk around the floor of the convention center, and I got to check out a number of new vehicles. So that was exciting as always, and mingling with other media as well.
What cars stick out? You know, we'll hold the top five for now.
Yes, we'll hold the top five, but definitely there was a lot.
We're gonna do a podcast on the professor's top five of the LA Auto Show, which is actually which will bring us full circle, because a year ago, that was our first podcast that you and I did together, was your top five.
The very first one, yes.
But we're going to do that in another podcast, but we'll tease that in this podcast. So
yes, we'll tease that. Well, okay. There's definitely been a lot of attention for the all new, I shouldn't say all new, but mostly new Porsche 911.
Yep.
Yes.
And they had a nice spread. Boy, did we have a nice lunch at their booth, huh?
Yeah, that was a really, really nice reception.
Thanks, Porsche.
With the turkey and the sea bass. And they had a numerous Porsche 911s there, and that's actually a 2020 model. There's also been a lot of talk about the all-new Jeep Gladiator. There's been a lot of press coverage about that.
Yep.
That's their new mid-size pickup truck, and that's a
mid-size, but it looks really long.
Well, you know, the one that they had smack dab right in the center, that one looks longer because the gate was down, and then they also had the off-road bikes on there.
Yeah.
I saw another one right next to it, and that one looked shorter, and I was told they're actually exactly the same length.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, one
of it is a mid-size pickup truck.
You just jogged my memory. I gotta butt in with one other thing that I wanted to note about press days. Volvo, day one of the show being open, had no cars at their display.
Correct.
They had a huge display and no cars because they wanted to focus on all the services. The fact that Amazon will be able to deliver to your trunk of your Volvo. Google, Android, I believe. Is it Android or is it just Google? Anyway, Google/Android has an operating system that is kind of running everything on the car. And then, of course, they have their subscription service, which may or may not live on. It'll be interesting to see. I know rumor had it, Cadillac's subscription service. And for those of you that don't know, the subscription service is basically the idea of... Some of the manufacturers have tinkered with subscription services like our phones, right? Like all in one. Your insurance is covered. The maintenance is covered. Everything's covered. The car is covered.
Yeah, they have a program where you can swap out different vehicles. I think it was something like $1,900 a month or something.
But Cadillac is killing theirs.
Correct.
Cadillac is suspending theirs as of December 1st. Rumor had it. Well, I guess...
From what I heard, yeah.
I guess we would know that by now because we're recording this on December 3rd.
Yeah.
But obviously suspension means... But then at the same time, it seems Porsche's that they're doing is going well. And they're going to charge more for it.
That's completely different, though.
Different buyer, different car, different...
Because you can switch out... Completely different segment. Yeah,
you can switch out the little pocket rocket that you get to drive from time to time.
When you're talking about Porsche, you're really talking about a more of a boutique automaker, right?
And an enthusiast.
An enthusiast who people in that segment that are looking for a car in that segment, they're looking for something different all the time, right? And they have so many different vehicles in their garage, and they're looking for, and just look at the 911. Look at how many iterations they have, right?
Yep.
And they're constantly coming out with a brand new 911. So they want the latest one.
Yep.
And Cadillac, that's completely different because they have an entire range of luxury vehicles. But quite honestly, the typical Cadillac buyer probably will not want to spend $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that might have been GM's attempt to kind of reach in maybe not the right way for their buyers. The younger tech savvy market, maybe I don't know.
Yeah,
but it makes sense that Porsche is having success with it and Cadillac struggling with it.
Yes, if you're spending that much on a Cadillac, you're probably just going to want to drive the top line CT6, the Escalade, and then maybe the CTS-V.
Right.
And you really probably aren't going to care for any of the other vehicles, quite honestly.
And for that much money, you can probably, I mean, you put enough down, you probably buy or lease two of those vehicles, two of the three that you'd be driving, right?
You're probably going to get two of those, yes, easily for that price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so we slid off topic. That was not really off topic, but so the Volvo subscription model, you know, we'll see. But it's interesting, you know. Again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, in so many things, it's like nobody really knows. But that's the exciting thing. That's a really cool thing. You know, we're at a time, transitionary time where it's all right. You know, we know change is afoot. But what?
Well, it'll be interesting to see 5 years down the road who's right and who's wrong. Right?
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. That just jogged my memory again on something else. Flying cars. I know. Yeah.
I think we're even further away from that.
Yeah. Quite honestly. Well, and I agreed. But there was one, and I got to sync up with this guy. There was one CEO from the startup competition, because part of Automobility LA, they had a startup competition that, and they did the top 10 startups. And then I think they whittled it down to three and then the number one. But one of the top 10 was a company called EVA or EVA, I believe. And it was a former Tesla engineer he lives in France, and his company's based in Toulouse, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But they have it's not a flying car. It's a vertical takeoff and landing vehicle that basically takes off and lands like an Osprey. So Osprey is the military vehicle where the wings tilt up and for vertical takeoff. And then as the wings rotate, the vehicle is propelled forward. And supposedly they're going to be test flying in both France and up in Silicon Valley within, I think he said, 3 months, 6 months, maybe really soon.
Wow, that's
I chatted
soon.
With him. He agreed to do a podcast with me, and he agreed to invite me to the Silicon Valley test flight. But it was interesting. He had no real images or no real video of the vehicle actually flying. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. I know Professor's super skeptical. I'm super skeptical on all this stuff too, but it just jogs the fascination.
Is he
going
to do a test flight down here to SoCal and pick you up?
That might be.
Would you go?
I don't know. Probably not. Now that I'm a dad, no. No. I think I want them to iterate a few times and make sure that we have some serious safety precautions before I go. I'm sorry. I took us off topic a couple of times. What were other takeaways that you had from the Automobility LA, which is the precursor to the LA Auto Show?
Well, let's see. So we talked about Porsche. We talked about Jeep. Oh, the other vehicle that got a lot of press coverage was the Mazda 3, which comes in both sedan and hatchback.
Yep.
And it's got a real premium feel to it. So it really is in a class in itself among the compact vehicles.
Yep. All right. Okay. Well, Professor, unless there's anything else, we're going to wrap this one up. But stay tuned for the Professor's top five picks from the 2018 LA Auto Show. And for iDrive SoCal, I am Tom Smith. That was the Professor, Mr. Clinton Kwan. Thank you, as always, for tuning in.
This episode was engineered and edited by Bobby Flores.
Howdy. Still here, huh? That's cool, but this one's pretty much done. But we have tons of additional content at our website, iDriveSoCal.com. If you're not listening from there already, you should definitely check it out. From there, you can subscribe to our newsletter, the podcast, or leave a note. And I'd love to hear from you, too. Here's my email, tom@iDriveSoCal.com. That's Tom, T-O-M, at iDrive. The letter I, drive, like drive a car, SoCal, like Southern California, .com. Tom@iDriveSoCal.com. Thanks again for listening, and please reach out with whatever's on your mind.